sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.
Welcome, Rita Steele, back to the 95 BFM studio.
Hello.
And how did you get here? Did you travel by car?
Today I actually did.
Did you put some gas in it?
I did.
What was the stats on that?
I got in before the price rise.
Oh, did you go out of town?
17. No, I think I did it in the weekend.
A friend of mine lives out in Waiuku, and they're just outside the... Oh no, they can go to like, they can drive to just outside like the Auckland limit and fill up their car for a little bit less.
Yeah.
But tell you what, I've noticed now I used to put like $20 in my car when I put gas in my car, which isn't very often. I don't really drive it too much. But to kind of get the same mileage, I sort of have to put 30 in now.
Ooh.
I'm getting that heavy BFM cash. So.
This is a little bit random, but it makes more sense to fill up because, especially in the summer months,
yeah.
Because an empty tank, like the emptier your tank is, the more you go through the gas.
Evaporates.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of a power to weight ratio. If my car's lighter, I won't use as much gas.
Oh, yeah, maybe they cancel each other out. we need some like petrochemical engineer to tell us about that. But we are talking fuel tax today.
Okay.
Doesn't really seem that related to sustainability. But it is.
How is the price of gas going up related to sustainability?
Well, we do talk quite a bit on this show about what we can do. And quite often it comes down to having a revolution, which no one is willing to join me in doing. So the other alternatives are often that one of the things that's going to happen is that we're going to have to start paying more for things that aren't sustainable. And petrol is one of those things. So just to give this fuel tax, I've just heard so many people complaining about it in the last few weeks that I thought it's a really good time to kind of talk about how the fuel tax is actually helping us become more sustainable.
Yep.
And I thought I'd give it a little bit of background. So it has actually been a relatively democratic process. So in 2014, the Auckland Council did come out and ask us to feed into a long-term budget. And they asked us how we should pay for transport infrastructure. And at the time, we were given the option to put it into our rates, do a congestion charge into the city, tolls when you get on and off the motorway, and fuel tax. And a significant majority of people said fuel tax because they felt it was more fair for those that are using more, pay more for the roads. So the council went, that's awesome, but unfortunately the central government didn't, we don't really have a law that allowed that kind of, that bylaw, I guess, for taxes. So this new government has made it so that individual councils can put in taxes that are going to pay for infrastructure. Mm. So that's how this tax has come about.
So I could roll into a town and it could be like 10 cents more because that town's decided they want to have a massive statue or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the framework is there now for that.
That's,
so,
I mean,
yeah,
you know, totally. That's kind of like, that's good as. I mean, I can see maybe like Queenstown or something like that, gas being like $20 a litre or something like that because they want a sky tower down there. That's really real expensive, you know.
Well, I think the Auckland Council wants to improve public transport,
yes.
And a good way to do that is through this tax.
Yeah.
And everyone is just crying out for a better train service,
bus
service.
I want a better train service.
That's everyone, pretty much.
Also, better cycleways.
Yeah, so this tax is moving us into a new era where they're going to spend $28 billion overhauling our transport infrastructure. And that's what the fuel tax is going towards. And just to give it some context, the fuel tax is actually only going to raise 5% of this total cost. So it's a huge cost that maybe generations ago we should have been thinking about, but you know, has unfortunately been put off till now. And also we've had some huge population growth in that time. So we probably didn't expect to need to do this as quickly.
Sort of a more of a one hand, one bounce situation now.
Mm.
A bit late, but still might count as an out, depending on the rules.
Yeah, yeah. And the alternative, just to put it into perspective, was to increase all the rates by 11%. So, you know, which would have been in your rent and whatnot. This way it's kind of at least user pays and kind of discourages you, if you can, to not use your car where possible.
When did we do that driverless days thing? That was like the 80s
in
or
the
something.
Late 70s, I think, when the oil crisis sort of happened.
I suppose there was an oil crisis back then. Are we not in an oil crisis now?
Back then it was a political situation where the Middle East basically, from what I understand, withheld oil supply. And New Zealand at the time actually was pretty forward thinking and started converting our cars to, I want to say LPG.
Quite possibly, yeah. There's a lot of those kicking around.
Yeah, and there's lots of people that are in this space that think that it was a major stuff up that we even shifted away from there. Although to me, it kind of seems a little dangerous driving around with the gas bottle in your car.
Apparently it's not.
Okay,
it's not.
Okay. But I just wanted to give some context as to why we need to shift away from, why we need to future-proof our transport system away from petrol. So in the last government was spending all the transport money on building roads, and that is relatively short-sighted because we have reached peak conventional oil. So that happened in 2005. According to the International Energy Agency, which means that there is no more, that we are declining in cheap oil that we can produce. And to give you some context on that, to produce one barrel of oil in the 1920s, allowed us to extract, produce, refine, ship, and deliver 100 barrels. So one barrel made 100 barrels. Currently, we're looking at 20 to 1. So one barrel makes 20 barrels.
What happened?
Peak convention oil, man. So it's now, it's happened. Like, it was so cheap.
What happened to my heart there?
We literally could put a hole in the ground, put a pipe down, and then suck out oil. And now that's
your milkshake. I drink it up.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, like the hillbillies. What was it? The
Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, there, you know. So, and now that this doesn't happen.
I was quoting "There Will Be Blood."
Okay, sorry.
Favorite oil situation movie. It's great. Right. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Tar sands. I don't know if you've seen these lovely tar sand things up in Canada.
Tar sands.
Yeah, they extract
the like
oil
quicksand?
Out of the sand. You can't. Well. I don't think you want to get stuck in it. It's sand that's thick with oil, and they pull the oil out of it. I don't know exactly how. It's quite a process. But
is that by the tar pits in Cali? That kind of
it's
stuff.
Canada's huge on it. Like their economy's currently being buoyed by it quite significantly. But these tar sands, it takes one barrel to get 5 barrels of oil. So basically what we're saying...
Well, we're going the wrong way here.
No, we are. That's the point. Like, we're using more energy to get less oil. And so it's kind of...
The word silly dum-dum comes to mind a little bit.
It's kind of the equivalent... Well, we can't do much about the fact that we're running out of oil, though. Like, it's just... It's happening.
I want to talk about... I do think it's worth mentioning this Vice video that everyone's kind of talking about this plant in Switzerland that's created this this site that turns CO2 into a clear... buzzy petrol. It just pulls it out of the air. Doesn't matter where it is. It's always the same amount of CO2 in the air, and it just turns it into... Hey, look, it's a... Just look it up, everybody. The company is called Climeworks, and it's very interesting. They've published their findings, mm-hmm. and apparently it works.
So they can pull the CO2 out of the atmosphere and use it to fuel cars, but I think we're looking again at a ratio of something like one barrel of oil energy to produce 5 barrels. So we're still, even though we've got these other technologies, we're still going the wrong way in terms of like the
I mean, that's the first of its kind. So you got to hope that maybe it'll get better, right?
Yeah, totally. But we're looking at renewable energy being about 12 to 1. So one barrel of energy produces about 12 barrels of energy. So renewables are kind of starting to become more... efficient and more sustainable than oil is. I mean, they were always more sustainable, but they're more efficient now, or getting to that point. So as you can see, we kind of are moving away from, or we need to be thinking about the fact that petrol-driven cars are probably not in our long-term future. And when you're building a city, you do want to be thinking about, you know, what the next 50 years looks like, rather than just the next 5 or 10. Which is why we need to be saving to build new infrastructure. And this is what I think has made me a little disappointed, is that everyone's whinging about the petrol tax, and in the meantime, no one's asking where it's actually going. So I dived into the council reports, and fuck me, they're boring. They also are lacking some major leadership. Like, they're like, cool, we're going to make more room for buses, and we're going to... And it's like... $28 billion to do some of this stuff? Like, where's our high-speed train from Whangarei? You know, where's our, like, come
monorail.
On, like...
We should have bought the Sydney monorail. I've said that a few times now.
Yeah.
They whipped that down. We could have had that around Auckland just fine.
Yeah, there's definitely some things that we can do there.
Monorail.
So to give you... monorail!
Dope.
So to give you a little bit of an idea of what they're going to do, more public transport. So buses, priorities, buses more reliable. Do we really need to pay for that? I feel like that just should be a bloody thing. But anyway.
Buses just need to be cheaper. Buses are too expensive at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's too expensive to catch a bus and a train, man. It's fucking expensive. If you live like out Swanson, it's like $12 or something just to go one way.
No. But the trains are pretty cheap now. I live out in just before, like two stops before Swanson. It's $4.85 each way. Okay. Which is pretty, like there's no way that I've
gotten a bit better then.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, but trains, and the other thing about trains is that they're reliable and consistent. So I know I can get on it at the same time every day and get off it at the same time, whereas a bus...
Also spacious with our numbers at the moment.
Yeah.
Hello, BFM, you're with Sustaining a Life. How's it going?
I think buses should be free.
Yeah, well, if you really want people to use them, yeah. And also the service needs to be spot on for people to actually divorce their car. The sooner someone gets out of their car and tries to use the bus and it doesn't work, that scars them and they tell five other people and everyone's like, fucking back in my car, thanks, you know?
Yep, definitely. Because whenever it rains, mate, there's nobody on the bus.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, thanks, bud.
Sweet, bro.
Nothing like a good old-fashioned sweet bro to break it up, eh?
Yeah. Thank you, caller. Yeah, so, yeah, and I still hear people saying the trains in Auckland are crap, and then when I say, the West Auckland trains are really
new.
Good.
They're just brand new.
No, they are good. I've caught the trains for almost 10 years now, and they were terrible up until the last
Britomart situation down there is Euro-as. If you catch the end of the line down to Britomart, it's like, everyone should just go down there and check it out. Check out what you're... Tax money's paid for.
Totally.
It's fucking glorious down there.
Take a ride.
It's mint. It's like, fuck, you feel like you're in Germany or something.
It is. And I think probably the most important and significant thing that our fuel tax will pay for was the city rail loop. And there was some leadership on that. They started freaking building that thing before they really had the money to do it. Right. They were like, we just have to start this. And the national government was going, no, we're not going to pay for it. No. And Auckland were like, you know what? Let's just start. And it was kind of like, let's just do it because what are the parents going to say? Like, once you start digging. And that's exactly what happened. Like, they started, like, National were like, oh, okay, fine, we'll pay for the bloody thing because you've started now. But by doing that, we put a loop in the city, which means that we can put more trains in because at the moment it's a dead end. So we can't put in a train from the north. We can't put in a train from the northeast. So this way we can actually add to the system over time. Which makes life a lot easier. So that's probably the one thing that I saw in this report that I thought, man, that's really awesome. I mean, look at this. They want to increase park and rides from 5,500 parks to 9. They're going to add another 1,900. I'm like, across the whole city? Awesome. Thanks,
cool,
guys.
Man.
And then I'm going, okay, cool. Well, if we know that petrol is going to be a problem in the next 50 years, then maybe we need to start thinking about, like, you know, ride sharing and Uber. Like, maybe, you know, you get people to Uber or ride share down to, or, you know, feeder lines into these into these hubs, because we're so spread out that for some people...
Sea train, I've been saying for years now.
Oh, what's a sea train?
Sea train is a train that goes underwater. It's pretty cool.
I like the underwater music goes with it too. Nice. Did you do that on purpose?
It's just this idea they had about a train that is on land and then just dives into the water and keeps cruising. Because you can't open a window on a train anyway. So.
No, you can't.
Hey, John.
No, you can't.
So my takeaway from this is definitely start thinking about the next 20 to 30 years of your life. Can you shift your job closer to home? Can you? But also ask the question, stop whinging about the tax and ask, okay, cool, where's this money going and do you agree with it? And if not, write a letter to your local council person and say, I think you can do better than this.
Caller.
Hey, I just want to chuck in 2 cents. I went to New York recently.
Yep.
And I've been
great subway system, that one.
Been to London before. Yeah, like it works. And what I'm going to say is that someone at some point, generations before us, has had to pay for that.
Yeah, that's right.
And thousands of people use it every day, and no one complains about, oh, this costs so much. Mm. Like, it's a thing.
Mm.
So
totally.
You know, like, think 50 years from now, and we've got the loop and everything happens, people use it to get to work, and it's a thing, and you don't think about how much it costs.
Right on, man.
Totally.
That's all. Thanks.
Nice 2 cents. Thank you. Yeah, do this for your grandchildren or your friend's grandchildren if you don't have any. There you go. That's me.
Should that sort of be my 5 cents now?
Inflation.
My 10 cents, eh? They're not.
It's my 10 cents.
It's my $1.50.
You can't give 2 cents anymore. Thanks, Rita.
Have a good week.
Always a pleasure.
Was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.